All right, hey everybody. Tonight's episode is another. I think it's been a little while since I've done one of these. It's a tale of the tape episode. And normally, sometimes these are seasonal, but this happened to be. I'll kind of walk you through the structure, when this came up, and then structurally, what I'll do is the tale of the tape episode is basically taking a movie I used to watch as a kid, and to some of you, these will be movies you have no familiarity with, but you could check out in a movie I haven't seen in a long time, and then try to remember the plot of the movie, basically. So a movie that had a great meaning to me when I was a youth, and say, well, Scoots, if that movie is so important to you, what happens in the movie? I say, well, good question. And I kind of found by accident that this structurally works. And then we kind of, as we see how it unwinds, if we have time at the end, I'll kind of look up some facts about the movie or the plot and kind of some articles and see how it matches up. But to start with, I like to go in mostly with little information, though there has been times that that hasn't worked out. But that's the beauty of editing and pausing it. And here's the first thing I'll misremember, but this just happened yesterday, was I was driving. It was coming back from a road trip, and a song came on. And now I can't think of who sang it, but it's an 80s song, and We Are Young, I think is the... And there's a couple of songs, We Are Young, so this might not be the one you're thinking of. And it's not sang by... Oh, good boy. So this is already, maybe I'll think of who sang it. It's not Debbie Harry, but it's an 80s songstress. Maybe Linda Ronstadt? No, probably not. I know who it is, part of my brain, because this was literally yesterday. This song came on. And I said to myself, this is a song from the movie Legend of Billie Jean, which comes up on the podcast. It was one of the movies I saw in my formative movie watching years, it wasn't my formative years, going from a boy to a man. I was still a boy because my blooming was later than most. That's how I keep such a youthful attitude now. But so, was it Linda Ronstadt? I don't know. It's not, who sings that other song? Really great song. Who sings the song that I used to make up a ton of parodies of it? I don't know. I Love Rock and Roll. I don't think it's that person either. That's Joan Jett. But you know what? I'm in that. It's somewhere in that ballpark. I'd say very Joan Jett-esque. Or if Linda Ronstadt is who I think it is. I think today you'd call it power pop, maybe. But that was one of the songs from the movie. And it made me think this movie, The Legend of Billie Jean. And I have great fond memories of it. So we'll get into, we'll talk about it. I guess the start, let's get to it, right? Okay, so The Legend of Billie Jean, I don't think I saw it in the theater because I was probably too young. I'm almost positive of that. But then, like I've talked about on the show, there was this great period in my life where there was some special for HBO or whatever the package is, that we had HBO in my house for 2 years. And this is when I was exposed to a lot of things that would permanently impact my life in a positive way. Not necessarily the news, Kids in the Hall, and I watched a lot of movies. I think they're probably on during the day. And we would either tape the movie or we just watch it over and over. So this movie, Legend of Billie Jean, and again, I don't know how it holds up, but it really is an interesting movie, zeitgeist-wise, I think, and in a powerful way when you think about, how I remember storytelling, but I think in some way, at least in my memory, I say, Jesus is really... a forward movie for the 80s, and maybe not in what I'm exactly thinking. I'm thinking in some different ways. just because the 80s were kind of a time of like vanilla ice cream only. And so you say, would you prefer saltine crackers or vanilla ice cream? Even if you were talking subtextually, you'd say, well, I'd like French vanilla. So I don't know. I guess I'm mixing up my metaphors. But so whatever age I was, it was like a late grammar school, or what do people call it? Elementary school, grammar school age. And this movie starred two Slaters, Helen Slater and Christian Slater. And I believe this is probably Christian Slater's first film. And I think Helen had been maybe in one or two movies, like in a starring role, but she was the star of the film. And it did have like, I don't know all of the cast, and I'm not like, but it did have Peter Coyote and, Yeardley Smith, who plays Lisa Simpson, I think. Or maybe not. Maybe I'm, but anyway, yeah, I may be wrong. So I could be wrong on that one. Maybe I'm almost positive she's a voice of one of the Simpsons. Maybe it's Marge, because I think whoever plays Lisa Simpson was in another movie based on a TV show that's about to be rebooted. But I could be, you know, I've been wrong before. Also, the actor who was also in Back to School, which must have come out before this, because I already had an affinity for him. Just because he was a relatable, he's not the lead in this movie. He was a lead in that movie, because he's not like a big hunky male. So I said I could relate to him. But it was the Slaters that were the features, I guess, of the film. Oh, did I see Peter Coyote was in it? He kind of was in it, and then one of the secondary characters from Top Gun was in it. I want to say his name's Hobie Cat, but I think that's the name of like a pontoon, like a sailboat. Maybe his name is Hobie, though. Hubie was his name in the movie. I don't know. We'll look it up later. But so Helen Slater and Christian Slater, who I continue to have great affinity for, and particularly Christian Slater, he went on to be in Gleaming the Cube not that long after this movie, which is another movie. I don't know if I watched it quite as many times. It was a movie I liked a lot. A couple of my siblings love it. And I think I would love it if I'd watched it more. But I guess I just loved this movie a little bit more than that. And I don't know what else to say. I mean, I said... I'm proud of Christian Slater just because of, he's just in Mr. Robot, and he kind of had like a career with a couple different lives, where he was, expected to go one way. Then he kind of, had a period where he was a little bit absent, and then he came back in a different direction, and he was really good in The Contender. I think that was a movie, which was like his kind of comeback. Then I'm not exactly sure because I don't watch a lot of TV, but then I said, is that Christian Slater and Mr. Robot? Holy cow. But maybe Helen Slater's best known to people. I think currently is in Supergirl. It was originally in the movie Supergirl. I think it was also in the, what was that one Superman TV show that was like a rom-com? Clark and Lois, maybe it was called. I don't know. Lois and Clark. The New Superman, I think that's what it was called. Yeah, but so, what was my point? I'm a big fan of the Slaters. That's, I guess, what I would do, so I guess we could talk about the movie now, if I could remember how it opens. And there is a bit of irony, because one of the focuses of the movie is a scooter. And this was back in the 80s. And so scooters in the 80s are different than they are today. They didn't have, probably at some point they did have the foot power scooters or the electric scooters that people, especially in cities in America, you say, okay, well, it may be a subject that it brings up feelings for people. And at some point, like in the 80s and the 70s, people had things called mopeds, I think was what they're originally called. And when you would see romantic things like in Italy, people had scooters, which were like a, I don't know, lower powered, like a less than a motorcycle. But still you could get around. And now that I'm kind of thinking of the opening images, I'm pretty sure this is just where I get a bit mixed up. But I'm pretty sure the opening images of the film were Helen Slater kind of returning home from work, like whatever her job was, in a beach town, like which I'd assume was like a service job in the beach town. Maybe they showed her working or getting off work. Yeah, maybe she worked in some cool beach-related thing. And then cruising and kind of seeing that she was a very, like, well-liked person, maybe. And then going back to a beach house, which you say, well, what age range was? And that's another good question. And I'd say, I honestly can't tell if, like, in the movie, I'm trying to think if she was, like, the adult, like, maybe in her, like, somewhere between 18 and 22. There didn't seem to be an adult figure, but I could be wrong. But she goes back to the house, and her brother's there, Christian Slater. She's Billie Jean. Her brother is maybe Pyatt, or is Pyatt one of the, I don't know, but, I can hear her saying it. And she gets home, and I'm pretty sure right away it establishes that she's very close with her brother. She loves her scooter. But now I'm thinking that maybe her brother had a scooter. So this is one point where I'll just definitely admit I'm probably wrong. This is why it's the tail of the tape in my mind. But I'm almost positive I could see her on a scooter, right? In the opening of the movie, cruising and driving along. Though I could also be remembering a movie with Linda Hamilton, and maybe getting Linda Hamilton from a movie she was in with the Governator. And she's, I'm probably picturing Linda Hamilton riding back in her scooter to her house in equating that with Helen Slater. So that could be, this is where the tail of the tape, you know, to say, well, those tapes were, we dubbed over that and accidentally, you know, we had to, this was back when you had to use a VCR. But so the movie opens with Helen Slater. We'll just say that. Then we see her brother, maybe Pyatt, but I'm not sure about that. Then we find out that, her brother, Christian Slater, his pride and joy is this, his scooter that he saved up all his money for and really loves. And then very quickly, I guess, you know, to keep the action moving, maybe the other characters are established, which are two friends, neither of which is name I'm going to remember. But one, two young women that are, friends or and neighbors. And I don't remember their names. One had longer hair. One had shorter hair. One was properly played by Yeardley Smith or whatever, whoever's name. And the other actress, I just honestly don't know. But those were the two friend characters. I don't know if there was any other friend characters. There is definitely isn't that I'm remembering. What happens next is we learn that something happens with Christian Slater's scooter. And what was the kid? I thought of that dude's name, and it ends up that it's this. Maybe his name's Pyatt. No, what's his name? Hobie. That's the actor's name. Hubie, maybe that was his name in the, maybe that's his real name. Maybe he's pied. I don't know. But this total surfer bra, no offense to anybody out there. Just this is a caricature of it. Caricature. Yeah, he gets like a, I don't know if he's jealous of Christian Slater's scooter or what, but they like borrow it, I think, and like or something, and the scooter gets totally ruined. And they think it's all a big thing because this kid is rich also. And also Christian Slater's feelings, more than his feelings, get hurt. And I think he goes to try to stand up to them, and they say, well, we didn't do anything, you know. And at some point, that's when Peter Coyote gets involved. He's like the town sheriff, like the beach town sheriff. And he kind of says, what's going on here? And they say, well, we don't know. Somebody is like, it's a mystery. And he kind of stuck like, you know, within the bounds of his profession. He says, huh, but Helen Slater, Billie Jean is not having it. So she goes up to this, maybe he is Pied or is he Hubie? I don't know. But she goes to him, the surfer, and she says, you got to pay for this. And he goes, no. Now, his dad and him own some store that, like, sells trinkets to tourists, so, you know, overpriced T-shirts and stuff like that. So she goes to the dad, and she says, your son destroyed my brother's scooter, and he needs to pay for it. And he says, no, I didn't, Dad. You know, no, she's lying. And Helen Slater says, no, and, you know, this is like, you know, you'll pay for it. And the dad is played by an actor that usually plays, like, slime balls. But he says, sure, I'll pay for it. And then what happens is quickly becomes apparent that this he doesn't intend to pay and puts, like, Billie Jean in a position where she further has to assert right and wrong and her boundaries. So then I don't know what happens next, except that, this was before Christian Slater was in the movie, was he in that movie, right? Like, Young Cowboys, I think it was called, with Billy the Kid. But even in this movie, he fantasizes about being a Billy the Kid type character. And so at some point he gets involved and he pretends he's Billy the Kid. So I don't know if they take the money, which was rightfully theirs, and in, like, Billie Jean's, saying, you know, hell no, to the dad. But I don't know. I think it quickly goes awry because of Christian Slater pushing everything up a notch. And they have to bail. Because the dad of the main sleaze, he bumps his elbow, and he says, oh, I bumped my elbow because your brother bumped into me or something, you know, the usual, and so they have to bail, and I don't know if they got any, I guess they didn't get any of the money, yeah, but they still have to bail out of there. Because at this point, it's like the town rich guy and his bratty son. And so they bail. They go back to their neighborhood. Maybe they lived in a trailer park, because maybe that makes sense. Like a trailer park near the beach. It just because they say, well, that'd be makes sense with the two of them. And they're just closeness to their neighbors. Also, okay. Now I'm remembering a couple other things. Yeah, but basically what they do is they start packing up, the two of them, because they know they're going to get busted soon. And then their two best friends are like, what are you guys doing? Why are you so worried? Maybe they were even hanging at the house at their place. And they say, no, we got to get out of here. They ask the one friend with the shorter hair, can you drive us somewhere? Because we got to get out. And she says, sure. And the two friends are like, we're coming with you. And, you know, the one friend, she's younger, with longer hair. She's kind of like, wanting to get away anyway. And so then they all end up they're forced to this call to adventure. But they go on this call to adventure and they pack up a car, a station wagon. Now, this is where I guess my memory gets mixed up, whether the station wagon was a station wagon for, what's that place called? Mini golf? Or if they go and they spend the first night, or maybe this is just a dream of mine. I mean, it is a dream of mine. The first place they go to hide out is like a mini golf place, that I guess would be closed down maybe because it's the end of the summer. I don't know, but that they're hiding out inside a mini golf place. I mean, that would make sense that there is a mini golf place, or if they're just hiding out in the station wagon, and it's just full of mini golf balls. So I'm not sure about that, but at some point they hide out, and then suddenly it becomes like this big deal. Because I think the dad puts up his own reward for busting Billie Jean, because the Peter Coyote's like, okay, we'll catch, I mean, whatever, and the dad's like, no. So he kind of makes a big reward to catch Billie Jean. And this is one aspect of it, that it was this would be the rest of the movie becomes what people now call going viral. Like over the whole rest of the movie, it becomes the legend of Billie Jean that she becomes viral. I don't exactly remember how, though. I remember what happens next is they go to 7-Eleven and get food. They talk a lot, and you really establish that the four of them care for one another. So there's that part. Then they have to keep hiding out. So then somehow they end up trying to sneak into this house. And I don't know how they decided that, or where, like a really fancy mansion or something, that they said, oh, nobody's here. It's just a rich person's beach house or something with a nice pool. So they go in there. What they don't realize is the guy that was the actor from, Back to School lives there. And he's kind of a recluse and an introvert. And so then, you know, there's some rising action, but it's more of a misdirect. And he says, oh, I know who you are. And then for some reason, it just happens that a Joan of Arc movie's on. So they watch a Joan of Arc movie. And Billie Jean's thinking about there's been already two levels of injustice, or three levels. Literally at the hands of the patriarchy. Especially the upper class, patriarch and his son, future patriarch. Yeah. And it was all done in a kind of a straightforward, without trying to bury it in subtext, and I think that was a good, I don't know, that's where I'm surprised for the 80s was that part of it. One part was a surprise, that it wasn't for me, whatever grade I was in, I was like, oh, okay, I get this, I get the message, and it's being delivered to me in a straightforward way, but not spoon-fed to me at the time, but again, it might just, I don't know if it stands up to time. But another thing I thought was great was the casting, because I really thought, and again, this is just my memory, is that the friend, the four leads were, even though I don't remember everybody's names, were, the friendships were very believable, and that it wasn't I realized they were all actors and actresses. But that they weren't professionalized. There's something about profession. The more people get into acting at a young age, the harder it becomes to get good performances from child actors and actresses. I mean, I don't know if you know what I mean, but like you see movies where every kid, I mean, I guess this is, would be a little bit younger. These were like high school to young adults, but the performances were, at least at the time, I found them very relatable and believable, and without being like they seem like real people. And so they're staying at this guy's house, and I think there's a ticking clock, maybe because his parents are coming home or something in a day or two. And they watch Joan of Arc. He kind of tells Billie Jean that, he believes in what she's doing. Then she kind of goes into this introspective mode. Also, the younger, long-haired character, she experiences her own personal change and growth. And then, so Billie Jean's in her own kind of figuring introspective mode, but also like a planning mode and an accepting mode of her, needing to be, to stand up. But also to get this counter message out, because this patriarch dude was I'm going to put up a reward because Billie Jean's a jerk. And so she cuts her hair. I guess that was another point of the movie, was that she had long blonde hair. And that was part of her identity up until this point. So she sees Joan of Arc. She cuts her hair. Also, they didn't have any change of clothes. So she was wearing at some point they all go swimming, which I think probably happened earlier. And there's a water slide from the kid's bedroom into the pool from the second floor, which was this dramatic and cool thing. But so she cuts her hair. She gets this some sort of what is it called? She starts wearing a wetsuit top, which just makes her look cooler. And then the guy tells her about the power media. I think they had there's 25 minute Marshall McLuhan think piece in there that wasn't even resolved. They were like, well, is it, and he said, well, now we have these cameras, we can get to. This would have made sense on the internet because this doesn't make sense in the movie. But at this point, for me, my belief was suspended or whatever, my disbelief. But so she films this thing where she says, here's what really happened. Or I'm going to she says, let's settle this. It's two honest people. She says to the dude's father, I'm willing to settle this. You pay for my brother's scooter or something like that. And she sets a time again. I'll meet you here. I think that's what happens, because then it becomes this. And she also makes a speech where she says, fair is fair, which is basically your son damaged my brother's scooter, needs to be replaced. Now you're making up all this BS, to cover your son's tracks, and karma's coming. Now, meanwhile, because of this, the father figure trying to hype all this, it becomes even more hyped. And what happens is, everything becomes viral. Billie Jean becomes viral in this positive way. The dad keeps hyping up his reward, and she really does become this legend. And she was this inspiration for people standing up to old white dudes. I mean, basically, and just a lake of a self-actualization. I don't know if that's what it is, a bit of standing up for yourself and saying this is wrong. Fair, I don't know if it's fair means fair. Yeah, I think it's fair means fair. So, they have some montages of them. Wait, there's another point where they go somewhere to eat and they meet a bunch of kids who know who they are. Maybe they go to a party. I don't know if that was, it must have been after the video came out. Or they go somewhere. Yeah, but I think they went to a pizza place, they got free pizza. And maybe a bunch of other free stuff. Maybe they went to a store. And the kids that ran the store said, oh, well, my parents own the store, like, maybe something like that. So they start to get, like, this groundswell of support for Billie Jean. And again, it might seem tropey, but then even the dad starts to capitalize, selling Billie Jean t-shirts, because he commercially exploit her rebellious image. And I think then a radio station even offers to give them a scooter. That's in the brothers, like, well, we should just take a scooter from the radio station. And they say, Billie Jean, just come get the scooter. It's waiting for you. And Billie Jean's like, no, we're getting the, we're getting the scooter. Then I think the dad even, I don't know if it's a dad or somebody else, erects this giant, like, paper mache, but a 20-foot statue of Billie Jean. Yeah, there must have been another, like, plot twist, but at some point they have to go down to the beach now. At this point, it's viral, so there's tons of people at the beach waiting for, it's like Billie Jean Day, like Legend of Billie Jean. We see everybody's, like, it's become a fashion, she's become a fashion icon. And then, of course, like, the hype that Billie Jean's, like a subversive force because of the dad. So there's a lot of, like, Peter Coyote stuck in the middle. And also the two friends get dropped off with Peter Coyote. He says, okay, what's going on? They say, nothing. Billie Jean just, like, but then, it, like, Peter Coyote loses, like, jurisdiction. So then it becomes this whole big thing. And then they say, well, will you meet with her, like, the dad? Like, and then we'll just, you know, then we'll bring her in or whatever. Or are you really going to give her the money? And, of course, the dad, he's like slime. So he can't remember what he does, but he says, oh, yeah, I'll give her the money, you know, and then you can bust her and then give me my money back or something. Or, no, he refuses to. So Peter Coyote has to put up the money, maybe. Yeah, so, but I don't know. So they basically, it all culminates at the beach meeting. And the dad pulls some stunt at the very end. And it ends up like, I don't know, it ends up like with this very dramatic ending. I don't even, like, where, I think the dad hopefully gets, and his son get busted. Billie Jean's kind of shown, I don't know, maybe he tried to turn the tables on Billie Jean one last time, but she kind of says, well, this is exactly, I think you, like, in the court, like, right in front of everybody, she says, well, this is exactly what happened, I don't know, then the dad pulls something that was stunting one last time, then Christian Slater bumps his elbow, I think just because the dad pulled something. So then Christian Slater bumps his elbow. Peter Coyote's trying to keep everything calm. Then everybody worries about Billie Jean. Then her statue gets knocked over. And the dad, all his merchandise gets wet, like a giant wave comes in, basically. And it takes out his merch tent, which is great. And he said, no, no, I'm losing my Billie Jean t-shirts. And I think that's how it ends. But let me look up some stuff just to get some facts here. Because I really don't think I'm doing the movie justice. So it's two. Let's go to Wikipedia first. Yeah, so it came out in 1985. Made $3.1 million at the box office. What rating was it? I don't see what rating it was. Yeah, let's see, rides with her younger brother on his Honda Elite 150 to go swimming, and Hubie Pied, they wanted to live in Vermont too, that's how it ends, yeah, but Hubie takes the scooter, and, oh, the friends' names are Putter and Ophelia. And she goes to Peter Coyote, but he says, just wait till the scooter comes home with your brother. It's just kid stuff. Yeah, then Billie Jean tries to go get the money. Then Binks, as a brother, you know, escalates everything. Mr. Pie bumps his shoulder. Then Peter Coyote, Detective Ringwald, realizes he should have intervened earlier. Billie Jean just, you know, now Billie Jean's like, Mr. Pie has to own up. Then they meet Lloyd, who's, okay, so there's an extra layer with the video. And Lloyd, because his dad is the DA. But they still film the video and everything. The Billie Jean becomes a teen icon. Young fans follow every movement. She brings Butter and Ophelia back. Ringwald, they cover, like, they use a bunch of Billie Jean's for distraction. Well, now it says Mr. Pyatt puts out the reward. Maybe that's where the culmination is. Her and her brother go undercover. Then her cover gets blown. Binks bumps his shoulder. Billie Jean gets Mr. Pyatt's, gives Mr. Pyatt his deserved comeuppance. And everyone saw it. Everyone sees it. And then they take out his store. And then later, Billie Jean and Binks are headed to Vermont. And Binks looks after Red Snowmobile. Okay, so I did remember it. Let's see, soundtrack. Invincible was Pat Benatar. Did I say Pat Benatar? I don't think I did. We will be invincible. We are young. But it's Invincible is the name of the song. Okay, so let's look at Rotten Tomatoes. See how I did there. On the tomato meter, it got 40%, but the audience score is 75%. Let's just see if there's any critics we know. I don't see any famous critics here on the first page. Let's just dig deeper. I'm trying to find actual reviews around when it came out. Not seeing anything earlier than 2005. So we'll skip that. And Film School Rejects actually has a post about watching. Well, I'll read it. 28 Things We Learned from the Legend of Billie Jean Commentary. Let's see, a paraphrase. There's a lot of talk recently about the lack of female superhero films, and great ones in particular. But one of us is, one of people who missed out on stars Helen Slater, and it's not Supergirl, it's Legend of Billie Jean. And, you know, has sidekicks and nemesis and a catchphrase, fair is fair, not fair means fair. Okay, so let's see. The story and character beats deliver fun and excitement set to a catchy 80s soundtrack. Roster familiar faces Christian Slater, Yeardley Smith, Peter Coyote, Keith Gordon, and Dean Stockwell. And the dude from Top Gun. And, I might have to watch it. I might have to find this on DVD. Helen Slater and Yeardley Smith are the commentators. Yeardley Smith says she still gets approached by people who ask, because she became a woman in the movie. She had her first period, and it was a big deal for her character. One of her catch lines is, when can I get a diaphragm? Helen Slater's first comment is that Christian Slater is not actually her brother. Holy cow. She says people always assume they're related, to which I can only reply, guilty as charged. Oh, that's the thing. I thought they were related too. Holy cow. Both actresses joke about their terrible Southern accents. They said might have been hard for Christian Slater because the three actresses kind of hung out, but he didn't have anyone that was his age. He was 15. And he had to go to school during it. Let's see what else. The film was rewritten a lot of times, so much so that the original writer, Walter Bernstein, ended up uncredited. They both liked working with Peter Coyote. There's like, oh, it's PG-13. There's a lot of F-bombs. They said they're surprised. Because Helen Slater was like, maybe my daughter's going to watch this. I don't think it's okay to swear. They talk about Richard Bradford, who may be the dirtbag in the movie, the dad. They talk about the other actress, Martha Graham. They also had to do, Helen had to do a lot of shots in a wig because of reshoots after her hair was cut. Smith still has the stuffed bear that her character loved in the movie. Oh, they were shooting this movie when Supergirl came out, and some of the cast went to see it on opening day. They shot it in Corpus Christi, Texas, and that's where it's set, and that they would go to the mall during their time off during shoots. Helen said that was cool because there weren't malls in New York City. Let's see, Yeardley Smith was 20 in the when she shot the movie. Her character was 14. Let's see. Both were watching the film for the first time in a long time. And Helen seemed very taken with the various themes woven through the simple plot. She comments on the power of media, truth, and betrayal through the whole film. While talking about the writer Bernstein's struggle. Billie Jean's transition from long to short hair happened off screen. Talk about the haircut. Let's see. They have Smith's most regrettable scene is Putter's first period. Smith asks Helen if Keith Gordon was a good kisser. I don't know. I don't remember that scene. Smith asks Helen. Oh, I guess Keith Gordon is the, he must be the guy from, sorry, Keith. Keith Gordon is the actor that was in, I can't even remember the other movie, Back to School. Helen says she still gets fans, people that approach her referencing this film more than any other. Let's see. Butter's haircut protest scene initially called for Smith to cut her incredibly long hair, but she resisted or protested, so she wore a wig. The Big Beach finale strikes both actors as a mystery. Neither remembers what happens. Same here. And then they remember that Christian Slater's wearing a dress. They regret not keeping any swag from the movie. Helen wishes she kept some of the Frisbees they had. But they said the one item Helen did keep was a sweater from the last scene in Vermont. And the final thoughts from Film School Rejects. After seeing it in three decades ago, it became one of those movies that I never sought out but would watch again. On the rare occasion I came across it on TV, but since picking up the new Blu-ray, I've watched it twice more, once to reacquaint myself and once with the commentary. And both viewings were good fun. Commentary shows Slater and Smith in good spirits, even though as they humorously struggle to remember the movie they're commenting on. They recall plenty of small details, but Henry having them wonder how the movie ends, priceless. Well, I'm glad I'm not alone. And it sounds like it stands up, so definitely a movie to check out. I guess it's like on the R side of PG-13 as far as language goes, but I don't know. I feel like, it was a movie I watched a lot as a kid. Thanks, and good night.